Okay, today I want to share with you a few short inyanim relating to Shabbos HaGadol. This Shabbos HaGadol, where does it come from, this expression of Shabbos HaGadol? So simply, most people know the famous Chazal, that it's a pasuk in the Torah. It was on the Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael on the 10th day of the month, Asiri b'chodesh, you shall take for yourself a seh, and you shall guard the seh bikur for 4 days. Guard the seh for 4 days, and on the fourth day, you will slaughter it on the 14th day of Nisan Erev Pesach. You will slaughter the Pesach bein harbay. So, what was the problem? The problem was that the seh was the avodah zarah of the Egyptians. When was the 10th day of Nisan? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. There are conflicting Midrashim. There are two opinions in the Midrashim. Let's take a step back. When did Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim? Did they leave Mitzrayim on Friday, or did they leave Mitzrayim on Thursday? There are two opinions. If you are of the opinion that they leave Mitzrayim on Thursday, that's really the classic understanding, that's the more popular understanding. They left Mitzrayim, the 15th day was on Thursday. So when was Shilas HaPesach? On Wednesday. When was the 10th day of Nisan? Shabbos. So Shabbos is when Bnei Yisrael, they took the Korban Pesach, they took the Seh. Now, the animal is Muksa, by the way. The animal is Muksa. So that's what Pashtu allowed to take the animal. This is before the time of Muksa, obviously. But the Makayim, supposedly called the Rakula, whatever that means, they took the Seh on Shabbos. It was the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians. And what happened? What happened was that the Egyptians asked the Jewish people, "What are you doing?" So they told them, you have to be very precise. Maybe they're different. There's another medrash. If you ask the average person, they'll tell you they got very upset that you're sacrificing their avodah zarah. That's not the primary medrash. The primary medrash says that the Jewish people told the Egyptians that four or five days from now, in the night, Chatzos HaLaila, Hashem's going to wipe out all of the firstborns of the Egyptians. So it shows, really? And now the children believed it. The Egyptian children saw all the suffering that their parents and the country went through these last couple of months. And when they heard from their fellow Jews, from the Jews, that on 5 days from now, 4 or 5 days from now, all of the firstborn Egyptians are going to die, that means you, we're going to die, because some of them were firstborns. They went back to their parents. They told the parents that, do you know that the Jews have taken for themselves animals in preparation of celebrating the death of the firstborn Egyptians? And that means that we're all going to die because we are firstborns. The parent says, don't worry about it, nothing's going to happen to you. But the children says, no, it's going to happen, we believe them. And what happened was, there was a civil war broke out in Egypt. Fathers were killing the children, the sons were killing the fathers, fathers were killing the children. L'nakei Mitzrayim b'vchoireihem. To smite the Egyptians with their firstborns. The firstborns themselves waged a war against the government of Egypt. The government of Egypt refused to allow the Jews to leave. The firstborns, when they heard that the Jews are planning to celebrate in 5 days from now, 4 days from now, their death, they waged a war against the government, and one thing led to another, and many, many people died. Now that medrash tells us that the taking of the seh was not so much they took the idol of the Egyptians. The taking of the seh provoked a question, it fits very well into the Haggadah. The whole purpose of the Haggadah, it's a little bit of a drush. The whole purpose of the Haggadah, let's take a step, it fits very well into the purpose of God is she'elu tshuva. V'hoya ki yisholcha bincha mochar leimar mazos. Your children are going to ask you. This question of children asking fathers began now with Jews. It began with the Egyptians. Because when the Jews took the Korban Pesach, that aroused the curiosity of the children of Egypt. Why are you taking animals? In 4 days we're going to sacrifice a korban, and the purpose of the korban is because Hashem is going to pass over our homes and going to wipe you all out. Who? All of us? No, just the firstborns. So the children went to their fathers, the non-Jewish, and they said, do you know what's going to happen? And there was a dialogue between the non-Jewish Egyptians, between the children of the Egyptians and the parents. And they said, what are you doing? Let them go out. No, we're not going to let them go out. And it created a war. All of that, that dialogue, that debate between the father and the children of the Egyptians, that debate, that dialogue, which resulted in a war between the parents and the children, all was provoked when Klal Yisrael took the Seh in preparation 4 days in advance. And what day of the week was it? It was Shabbos. So it was the Shabbos HaGadol. That's why it's Hagadol, because that's really what started the process of redemption. That's the simple reason. Okay, there's another Medrash that seems to say that it's because that the Seh is the Avodah Zarah Mamish. That's, I think, we're more
standard.
No, so here he presents that's not the standard. Here he really in this Sefer, Mo'adim L'Simcha, he totally makes very little about the Avodah Zarah. Verily presents this.
That's the one I've seen. I don't know where.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Why it's called Avodah Zarah? No.
The Medrash.
Avodah Zarah.
So he makes very. I know, I have to go look. I'm sure there are different midrashim. The Sefer Mo'adim L'Simcha. It's a multi-volume Sefer on the Mo'adim. He says the Iker is the Medrash. That's what at least he presents. That it provoked.
They provoked
the Mitzrim. I'll read you the words.
But it's also very different kind of
it's
dialogue.
A slap in the face.
Yeah. I read the word celebrate Savosal Insha Pesach of the Koshos of Bakaramita, Shasu Yisrael Kain, Niskapsu Bhoire Mitzrayim. The firstborns of Egypt they gathered Eitzel Yisrael Ushalum. Peshahadav, why are you tying this animal to your bed? Onulohem, so they answered, Zevach Pesachu Lashem, this is a sacrifice of a Karm Pesach, Shosid Laharoig. Kol b'choyrei Mitzrayim. Hashem will kill all the firstborn Egyptians. Ulechein itzadinu. Hashem commanded us. Lo seis midama karbon. Hashem commanded us to take from the blood of this animal. Al shtei hamezuzos v'al hamashkof. Lebal yovo hamashkis elboteinu lingof. That's the response. Nothing to do with sacrificing the idol of the Egyptians. Hashem is coming, the Mashchet is coming. He's going to wipe out all the firstborns. We do not want to be affected. And Hashem told us the way we can protect ourselves is by following the command and putting the blood of this animal on our doorposts. So here we have the children, the Egyptian children, going to their parents. We find the idea of Avos, Ubanim, by the goyim. See, what we're doing is zelumazel. We are our whole mitzvah of sipur yitzias mitzrayim. It's avos subanim. There's a correlation. There was a process of avos subanim by the goyim. Miyad they went holchu abuchavos eitzel avos sehem. The eitzel paro. The darshu and they demanded l'shalach es yisrael mitzrayim lebal yaharugu biglolam. They should not die. The avos sehem loy nenu. They refused to answer their request. And what happened? War broke out. The firstborns killed each other, killed the parents. Okay, so this is one Merkava.
I'm just saying that the dialogues are totally
this took place. Yeah. It's very different.
The one is to inspire and educate, and the other is to provoke a riot and a revolt.
To provoke, one is to inspire. What do you mean?
It's to inspire the children to ask questions and educate.
Right.
Then,
it was a revolt.
Provoke a riot.
So, and Chanami, that's the difference. That by us, the relation between father and son is education. There, by them, the relation with father and son is not a pleasant. Many times, it's just conflict. Okay, but the point we have over here, this is one important, and that's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, because this event took place on Shabbos. There's a very big problem, because this solution only works well according to those who learn that the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim on Yom Chamishi. But what about the opinion that says that the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim on Yom Hashishi? If they left Egypt on the 6th day, that means that the 10th day of the month when they were commanded to take the Karm Pesach was Yom Rishon. If it's Yom Rishon, why in the world is it called Shabbos HaGadol? It's a very good kasha. Why is it called Shabbos? What was the gadol? What was the great thing that happened on that day? If Bnei Yisrael couldn't have the midrash and they left the Mitzrayim on Yom HaShishi, the 10th day was on Yom HaRishon. So what does Shabbos have to do with anything? And furthermore, even if you learn they went on Yom HaChamishi, so we should celebrate the 10th day. Why are we celebrating? Why are we celebrating Shabbos? What is Shabbos? Shabbos does not often coincide with Yom HaSiri. So obviously there has to be much more to it. Okay, so some of the other ideas given is it's similar from the Haftarah.
Right.
The Haftarah, it says, Hidinechi Yoshlech Lucham, Ace Eliona, Vilifne Bo Yom Hashem, Hagodol Vehanoira. So it's called Shabbos Hagodol, similar like Shabbos Shuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, and we have a Shabbos Nachamu Ami. Just like we take a word from the Haftarah and we apply it, that's why it's called Shabbos Hagodol, because Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Hagodol VeHanoira. That's why it's the idea Hagodol and not Godol because of the word Haftarah. The difficulty with that is it should be called Shabbos VeOrva because the first word of the Haftarah is the Arva. Alright, that's not such a strong question. Now, by the way, it's interesting to note that there were that in the look in the old rabbinic literature that they used to call the Shabbos before Shavuos also Shabbos HaGadol. And the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, the Shabbos HaGadol. So it appears that it's not necessarily related only to Pesach. There was the Shabbos HaGadol Shel Atzeres, the Shabbos HaGadol Shel Rosh Hashanah. Every Shabbos that preceded the Yom Tov was called Shabbos HaGadol. When it came to Yom Kippur, so then it was called Shabbos Shuvah. When it came to Nachamu, but Shabbos HaGadol was not necessarily only related to the Shabbos, the tenth day of leaving Mitzrayim. Okay, so let me give you some other reasons. Another very popular reason why it's called Shabbos HaGadol is because of the Tzedokin. The Tzedokin, we have the opinion of when do you bring the count, the Omer, when do you begin to count the Siyot Mimachos HaShabbos, you have to always wait until the first Shabbos after Pesach. You have Pesach, and then you wait until Pesach is the middle of the week, so you wait until Shabbos. On Sunday, you always see always on Sunday.
They interpret literally.
So in order to reject their approach, we call this Shabbos, the Shabbos before Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol, Gadol Michlal De'iko Katan. So then when it says, there's another Shabbos, what's the Shabbos Katan? Pesach. Pesach is also called Shabbos. Now when the Torah says, Mimocharas HaShabbos, you shall begin to count the Svira, it's referring to Pesach. So in order to reject the approach of the Tzedokim, that Shabbos only means there's only one Shabbos, Shabbos Bereishis, and that totally throws off the count of when we count Svira, when will be Shavuos, we call it Shabbos HaGadol Mechlal Dika Katan, and the Katan will be in Pesach, and that's when we're going to count the sphere. Okay, another idea I saw, I like this idea very much, is that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, Yismach Moshe B'manas Chalchok, Ki Eve Nemon Kiroslo, Kalil Teferis Tzat Rosho, Moshe Manas Chalko. What's Manas Chalko? Nasatelo. Moshe Rabbeinu was the innovator of Shabbos. When they were in Egypt, the Jewish people, they worked 7 days a week. Moshe told Paro, it's not in your best interest, they should work 7 days a week, they need 1 day rest, they'll have 1 day to rest, they'll work better the other 6 days. Moshe's intent was for the benefit, not because it was for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Paro listened to Moshe and he gave them off 1 day, he gave them Shabbos. Shabbos is the day of rest. And that's why Mizmashul Yom HaShabbos has nothing to do with Shabbos. It has to do with punishment for the enemies. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu would read with them on their day of rest. Moshe and Rabbeinu would come together and we mechazik, would come bring them together on the day of rest and we mechazik them and would teach them themes that appear in the Mizmashul Yom HaShabbos. It's all about the punishment to the enemies. So that whole mizmar expresses the frustration that Klal Yisrael has with their enemies, referring specifically to the Egyptians that caused them to suffer in Egypt. And Moshe says, "Do not worry; they will come when you will be free." Now, what happened Mitzray Shabbos? Mitzray Shabbos, they went back to work. They were off for 1 day. And then, when the day was over, Mitzvah Shabbos, get back to work. Whatever the work was, Mitzvah Shabbos. Now, even though the Shibud ended, the shibud ended 6 months in advance, but to a certain degree they were still under the control and the authority of Paro. There's a tradition, there's a medrash that says that the Egyptians completely gave up on them the Shabbos on the 10th day, the Shabbos before Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Shabbos before Yitzias Mitzrayim is called Shabbos HaGodol because the Menucha continued. Shabbos, they have rest. They didn't have Shabbos as we know it until after Matan Torah, but Mora, they got Shabbos. But every Saturday they were off from work. And Mitzvah Shabbos, they were back to work. They had at least a report in. Even though the Shibud stopped to the degree that the harsh, the Chaim HaLevim stopped 6 months before, but they were still under, they had to check in Mitzvah Shabbos. This was the first Shabbos that they did not have to check in. It was Gadol. It was complete Menucha. Once it came Shabbos, the Egyptian says, it's over, we're not going to bother you anymore.
They lost control.
They lost control, so the Shabbos extended more than normal. Normally they would expect Mitzvah Shabbos to go back to work. No, they did not need to go back to work anymore. The Shabbos, the rest, extended throughout the Shib, throughout until the end of Yitzhak's time. Yeah.
Didn't you tell us that once
they read this Megillah, Mizmor Shelem HaShabbos. It says in the Medrash that they read a Megillah. What was the Megillah they read on Shabbos? The Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Mitzvah Shabbos, they did not need to return to work, and therefore that's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. Others say simply the reason why it's called Shabbos HaGadol is because the Rabbanim traditionally would keep them in shul for a very long time. You were not allowed to go home until they would review with the tzibah all of the halachos that are relative to the coming week, im lo achshav emosai, and therefore it was a simple Shabbos HaGadol. It was a significant day, like how you have a Tzom Rabbah. Yom Kippur was called the Tzom Rabbah, a long day, because you don't leave shul for a very long time. There's a lot of tefillos to say, a long davening. So it was a Shabbos HaGadol. The prayer service took a very long time because the Rabbanim would not allow the tzibur to go home until they reviewed with them all of the halachas. It could be also they said in piyutim and mizmoirim, and that's another reason. That's why. Okay, now the Chasam Sofer says, and then there are other reasons.
One other reason that I read years ago was that since the crossing of the Arden,
Yudisan, so we want to give
differentiation between what people would don't know why you're celebrating the 10th day of Nisan. That wasn't,
that's cotton.
They wait 30 days, they satch, Avelis, and then on the third day they cross the Arden, comes out to the Yud Nisan. So
to make sure that
between the two, so they gave it a title of Shabbos HaGadol to make it different.
It's for Pesach, it's not for the Arden.
Not the celebration on Yud Nisan, but on Shabbos.
Because if it would be Yud Nisan, you would mistake with celebrating Kriyas Yamsuf. And we don't want to celebrate the Arden. We want to celebrate now's not the time for Yard, now's not the time to celebrate Mitzrayim. So it's Gadol relative to the crossing of the Yarden, which was called Katan, which is not the primary purpose. Okay. Now, similarly, every Shabbos represents the idea that in Shabbos, the events of the following week are included. This is more of a Chassidus Shemahalich, that every Shabbos includes within it all of the events that are going to come the following week. So So since the coming week there is going to be Yom Tif, the Kedusha of that Yom Tif is already given to us on the Shabbos before. What's the proof to this in Halacha? We don't say Vihi Noam. Whenever you have a Yom Tif that falls out in the middle of the week, you don't say Mitzvah Shabbos Vihi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Maaseh Yidin Kolei Maaseh Yidin Kolei. We don't say that. Because since this coming week, it's a Yom Tif, the Kedush already has started with Shabbos and continues. So since Yitzias Mitzrayim represents the Geula, it's a pattern, it's a blueprint for the ultimate Geula, so it's the Shabbos HaGadol. The Shabbos HaGadol, in this week it lies the Kedush that's going to come the next week.
This past Shabbos.
This coming Shabbos will be Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, now there are other reasons, but I want to just jump quickly now to a minhag. Okay, one of the big minhagim of Shabbos HaGadol, there's a lot more we'll do another time, but one of the big minhagim of Shabbos HaGadol is to say the Haggadah after Mincha, Shabbos Mincha. To say the Haggadah from the beginning of Avodim, if you don't say Manashtana, until Lechaper Al Nafshay Seinu. So the question is, why? Where does it come from this minhag to say the Haggadah on Shabbos HaGadol? That is probably one of the most important minhagim of Shabbos HaGadol. Besides that, we lay in a special Haftorah, the Haftorah of the Heshev Lev of Salban, the Gilu of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is a very important part of Pesach. Open the door for him, the fifth coast. Eliyahu HaNavi represents the coming of Mashiach, the announcement. He's called Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi. He has three names: Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Eliyahu HaGiladi. Each one represents a different function, different role of Eliyahu HaNavi. And that's what the Haftarah is all about, foreshadowing the blueprint for the coming of Mashiach. Okay, so Shabbos HaGadol V'Hanoira. But there's another two minhagim. One is, I'll take a step back, to make for the Rabbanim to make a drasha. It used to be traditionally in America, there's a new thing where Rabbanim speak every Shabbos. In Europe, the custom was a Rav only spoke twice a year. Can you imagine what an easy job? To speak twice a year, Shabbos Shuva and Shabbos HaGadol. Twice a year is when Rabbanim would speak, and most of the year they would be busy passing on chickens, on the chickens kosher or not kosher, and they would be involved in communal matters. Today, obviously, it's a different world, so Rabbanim speak every Shabbos, so there's a very big debate, what should the Rabbanim darshan? So there are different sources. Some say halacha. It's important to tell the people the basic halachas, what you need to know for the following week, and then it developed the custom that the Rabbanim should give the people musar, he shall give them mefalpel in the machshav, in the flavor of the yomtif. Okay, why dafka these 2 weeks? I want a very nice chat. I don't remember just the Rosh Hashanah that in the beginning of Chumash Tevarim, Moshe Rabbeinu addressed the entire Klal Yisrael. And if you look there, it repeats Moshe Rabbeinu's address twice. Eile hadam asher diber Moshe be'ever hayardein ba'midbar musar. Barav was all of these words. Rashi says he only was meramis, he gave them musar. And then it says, hoyil Moshe be'er es ha-Torah hazos be'er heitev in 70 languages. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave a double address. He gave musar, and then he brought out concepts. When a leader addresses the nation, he also it's twice. Musar, Shabbos Shuva, to do Shuva. And the second address is Hoyl Moshe Be'er Saterazo Sperhetev, is to bring out the flavor of what the event is about. So Pesach is the second expression, Hoyl Moshe Be'er Saterazo Sperhetev, and the words that are alluded to Musa represent the drasha Moshe Rabbeinu gave Shabbos Shuva. Even though it was given one time, was given this one drasha, was given this kufa, was Rosh Chodesh Shvat. It was when Moshe Rabbeinu addressed Klal Yisrael Mishnah began. But Moshe Rabbeinu views his role as a double role, and that double role is divided Bizman Hazeh by the Moshe Rabbeinu's of the generation, the two parts, Shabbos Shuva and Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos Shuva is a time for Musa, and Shabbos HaGadol is a time of encouragement and chizuk for the Geula that we are awaiting for. In two different Moshe Rabbeinu, look carefully in the Pogim of Chumash Devarim, you'll see Moshe Rabbeinu has two roles in giving drasha. We divide it two times of the year. Okay, that's one drasha. But the other significant minhag of Shabbos HaGadol is to read the Haggadah on Erev Pesach after Mincha. Now, generally speaking, what do we do on Erev Pesach after? What do we do on a Shabbos after Mincha? Bedavka, the minhag is to say it after Mincha. Generally, what do we do on Shabbos after Mincha? So we do it, we say the Pirkei Avos or Baruch Nafshi. And the sun wants the minigus to say Pirkei Avos. And in the winter we say Shiramalas and Baruch Nafshi. So that's debatable. There are some that will cause them to say do Pirkei Avos the entire year. Different minhagim. But it's brought down that the minig is that in this particular Shabbos you're not supposed to say Baruch Inavshi and Shir HaMalis, but instead you should say the Haggadah V'avod Mayinu until L'chaper Al Nafshe Senu. The question is why? Where does it come from? So Al Derech Pshat, I saw a very interesting reason given by the Chassam Sofer. I think it's the Chassam Sofer, is because there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, it's not a Gevet Van Hazeh, that you're not allowed to read L'Or HaNer. You're not allowed to read L'Or HaNer. If you have a Ner and you want to read Yom Shemayate. We don't have this problem today because of electricity, all different reasons why we don't have the shash today, but Nikar Din Itzasser. How then are you allowed to read the Haggadah when Pesach falls on Shabbos? If Erev Pesach is Friday, and Shabbos night is the first night of Pesach, how are you allowed to read the Haggadah Friday night, Shabbos night, L'Or HaNer? Ancient times there was no electricity. How are you allowed to every single member in Klal Yisrael during L'Or HaNer? There's a chashash, Shema Yate. You may tilt the Ner. So the answer is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that although you're not allowed to read, but you're allowed to read Roshei Parakim. You're allowed to read just headings. If you're looking over notes, if you're giving a drush tomorrow morning, you're looking over notes. So you're allowed to look over the notes. And being that it says in Shulchan Aruch that there's not even an Am Haaretz that doesn't know that the Haggadah is not to some degree Shagur B'Fiv, it's fluent in his mouth. He knows the Haggadah, the basic. Reading the Haggadah, L'Or HaNer, fits in the category of Roshei Parakim. That's the halacha. And that's why there's no issue whatsoever reading the Haggadah L'Or HaNer Friday night, because HaNer. However, some say it's not necessarily true, because not everyone is even at that level where the Haggadah is Shagur B'Fiv. That's how it came about, the minhag to read the Haggadah on the Shabbos before Pesach, that it should be Shogor B'Fiv to some degree, so that it should be considered Roshei Parakim when you come to read the Haggadah Friday night. Now you'll tell me, but it doesn't always happen every year Friday night that you have Haggadah, but it happens often enough, and Chazal decided in order that the Mechazik, the Takana, that it should be a Kodava Kavua, that it should be Shogor B'Fiv. It's an interesting idea. It should be Shogor B'Fiv. Every single year, people should review the Haggadah. It should be Shogor B'Fiv. So Friday night, it should be Roshei Parakim. That's a mahalach.
Or any night when the Seder has...
Oh, so you want to say, otherwise, want to say just practice. It's a practice run. Chazal are very concerned that a parent has to be able to be God to Levincha. You have to be able to tell your children what it's all about. So if the parent that is not always doesn't know what it's all about, you can't wait until the last minute. It has to be some hachana. You're not allowed to get up and lane from the Torah unless you review it before. So there are many examples in halacha that you have to review before you masader. A bal tefila is not allowed to go to the bima unless he's first the Messiah, they're at Tefillah B'Fiv. When the father has a role the night of Pesach to give over the Haggadah to the child, the father must review it, and therefore it's critical, Chazal U'Mesakein, that Tkufa on the Shabbos before, you read the Haggadah to prepare to tell them to the children. Now this is problematic because one of the earliest sources for this minute comes from Rav Amram Goin. That itself is problematic because of Amram Goin in the city that we have today, there's no Zecher of this. It's recorded to us secondhand from one of his Talmidim, that it says in the Siddur of my Rebbe, Rav Amram Goin, that on Shabbos HaGadol, the children shall read the Haggadah, not the adults. So this is a very big debate among the Balei Minhagim, primarily whose minig is it to read the Haggadah Friday on the Shabbos before Pesach. Is it the Tinoikos? Some of the earliest sources have the children, but not the parents. And some say the parents. If you learn that it's the parents, it makes sense because the parents have the mitzvah of Yad Lemincha. If you learn the children, then you have to say it's because we want to get the children ready. The children need a little bit of encouragement to prepare them for the young. They should be there, and they should get ready for the Yomtiv, so they're the ones who need more encouragement for Hachana. Okay, let me just tell you another very interesting idea from the Chassam Sofer. I found this to be fascinating. We have in the Haggadah, Datzach Hadash V'Chav, Rabbi Yehuda Ha'inos V'Yom Simonim, Datzach Hadash V'Chav, Simonim for Simonim. So Chassam Sofer says something that totally is shocking. That these Simonim were only meant to be said Shabbos Haggadol after Mincha. It was not meant to be said for the Haggadah. This that he invented. Rabbi Yehuda, Hoya, Noise, and Mohem Simonim. Tatzach, Adash, Biachaf. Why did he invent these Simonim? The Chasam Sofer says there is a tradition. Okay, we're not into these things today. We're not so spooky. We're not such spooks today. That just saying the 10 Makos is a Sakona. If a person says, Dam, Tzardeya, Kinim, Orov, Dever, Shchin, Barad, Arbe, Choshech, Makos, Bechoros, it's Sakona. When you say these words, it's a magic potion. It's so potent, these words, that you can cause the world to be destroyed. You can bring the Makos upon yourself. It's like a spell to say these words. And that is why David HaMelech in Tehillim did not order them in the correct order. Okay, one of them is Mamre Tehillim, David HaMelech, he gives Shachar L'Shmacha for their 10 Makos. And the order of David HaMelech is in a different order. That David HaMelech, he enumerates the Makos different than what's written in the Torah. And there's a lot of chidushim why David HaMelech changed the Seder HaDvarim. The Chasam Sofer says, the reason why David changed the Seder HaDvarim is because there's an ancient tradition that you're not allowed to say the 10 Makos in order. You're not allowed to say the 10 Makos because saying the 10 Makos is Sakana. The Torah says it, so maybe when you do Kriya Satorah, you're not actually saying the 10 Makos one after the other. They're broken up. By the way, they're broken up over 2 weeks. Over 2 weeks, they're broken up. Over 3 weeks, they're broken up. So you're not saying it in one shot. You're not allowed to say the 10 Makos. Pikuach Nefesh. David HaMelech, when he wanted to write a Mizmar to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 10 Makos, he said them in a different order, not to violate this ban, this ancient ban. So why then, how then do we say the 10 Makos the night of Pesach? Sakonis Nefashos. Even the Torah, it's divided in 3 parashas over 3 weeks. How then do we dear the night of Pesach? You know what the answer is? It's Lel Shimurim. Yeah. Lel Shim Hashem protects. We need not worry about any of these spooky things in the night of Pesach. But since there's a Minag Yisrael to say the Haggadah on Shabbos, Haggadah after Mincha, in preparation for the Hachana for the Yontif, the parents should prepare, the children should prepare, and when you read the Haggadah, you're going to say the 10 Makos, and now it's not as Mana of Shimurim, and it's Pikuach Nefesh to say the Makos in order because they may come harm. So Rabbi Yehuda had to invent Simon. We're not going to go say it in a different order because saying in a different order is going to confuse you when you come to the night of Pesach. The Nela, Rabbi Yehuda, Hoyenoisin, Mohem, Simon, and Datzach, Hadash, Viachav. Somehow, over time, everything got corrupted in the long galus, and we took the Simonim of Rabbi Yehuda and we inserted it into the Haggadah. It's incredible chiddush. Chasam Sofer says it doesn't belong in the Haggadah. It got here from the Haggadah only as a carryover from Shabbos Haggadah, because you're not allowed to say it's such a terrible thing to say these things. It's a tremendous chiddush to say such a thing. Today we're not makbid on this. No, we do say, because today we take from the Haggadah.
Sam Sofer, yeah. He would have said, don't say the regular order, just say the Yudas acronyms.
He would say, Chatzam Sofer says originally on Shabbos Haggadah, right, you would just say the acronym.
Skip the rest, skip the order.
Right. And on Pesach, he would say the real thing and not say Rabbi Yehuda's order. Today, everything's a big mishmash, right. So we say both. We say both on Shabbos Haggadah, and you say both on Pesach. Now, many Gedolim are very against this minhag, of saying the Haggadah on Erev Pesach after Chatzos because of what it says in the Haggadah. What does it say in the Haggadah? Yachol to Mechilta. Yachol me Rosh Chodesh. I would think that we should start saying the Haggadah on Rosh Chodesh Tamaloymar Bayoim Bayomahu. I Bayomahu Yachol me Bayom Tamaloymar Bavurze. Loyamardi El Bashoshi Yesh Matsu Mar Munachal Lefanecha. So what's the word Maskana? Yachol, you should say the Haggadah, the whole Chodesh. The Chodesh itself is part of, it's all part of the festival. Tamaloymar, no! Don't say the Haggadah. Don't say the Haggadah. Wait until by Yom Hazeh. Oh, even by Yom Hazeh. Don't stop, say it by day, or the next day, or the day before. You have to say B'shosh Yesh Matzah Mar Menach Mavnecha. It says B'feirish in this Braisa that you're not allowed to reenact. You're not allowed to reenact the Haggadah until the Zman comes. B'mokam Sheyesh Matzah Mar Menach Mavnecha. And because of this Braisa that we actually say in the Haggadah, I have here a whole long list of poskim that say are dead against this custom. You're not supposed to recite the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah after Mincha because you're violating the spirit of the law. Shabbos Haggadah after Mincha, you don't have the matzah marm munachim lefonecha. How dare you say the Haggadah? It's in violation of the halacha, and therefore you should not say the Haggadah. Now other poskim say, don't get so carried away. All that means, that just means the zman chiyuv. The zman, you have an obligation to do so. You're not yoytze yidei chayvasai. But there's no harm in practicing and getting ready. And you should. And now comes the punchline. And adarab, and just like we have this idea, and if you've been in some shuls, they don't say tachnun on the 16th day and the 17th. There's a very famous concept. This is a very big today in this day and age. Became so famous. This halacha, this inyan, you don't say tachnun on the 16th and the 17th day of Adar. Why not?
Of what?
Adar. Chodesh Adar. Purim is Yudalit. And then comes Shushan Purim. We don't say Tachnun. Why do you say Tachnun Shushan Purim? Not so poshut. Some people do say Tachnun Shushan Purim, but we don't say Tachnun. Okay, that's already a Chiddush. Okay. You don't say Tachnun. If my brother is celebrating Eretz Yisrael, that's good enough for me. I'm not going to say Tachnun today either in America. Okay, fine. No. Fine. Solidarity. Excellent. But what about day 16 and day 17? Business as usual. Right? Why not? No, because in the Gemara has a discussion. When is a day that's valid to recite the Megillah? So the Gemara says you can say Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and Tesvav. And how does the Gemara makes a drasha? Because we compare the 2 days of Yudalid and Tezvav. We take those 2 days, we have a drasha which gives us another 2 days. And it's not going to include day 13, because day 13 is Pasha, we don't need a drasha for that. Yom Hakel, Yom Kihila, and the Gemara is a drasha. So the Gemara, but let's take the drasha, instead of going backwards, the Gemara's question is, let's go forward. We have a drasha. The drasha is going to give us a bonus of 2 days. That's all we need to know for now. We know there are two primary days of Purim, day 14 and day 15. The Gemara says, I have a pasuk. This pasuk is a bonus of 2 more days. So we're going to apply those 2 more days to day 11 and day 12. Day 13, we already know. You can lay in the Megillah. So the Gemara says, if you have a bonus, why apply the bonus backwards? I have a suggestion. Let's apply the bonus forward. And you can lay in the Megillah in certain circumstances on day 16 and day 17. In addition to the two primary days of day 14 and day 15, let's be permitted to lay in the Megillah on day 6 and day 17. The Gemara says, no, the lo yavar. We have another pasuk that says you can't go forward, you only can go backwards. Okay, the Gemara is very happy. I have a bonus. I have another pasuk that says do not go forwards. So we can deduce that we can go backwards. We go backwards, day 3, 11, 12. But what was the Gemara's havamina? What was the Gemara's havamina? To go forward. So there's a concept. Even a havamina has significance. When a Gemara says something, maybe the words of the Gemara are sacred, it's also significant. So what's the significance of the Havamina? At least we don't say Tachmon on day 16 and day 17. Half the Shulchan Flapush, I don't have, but many Shulchan Flapush did not say Tachmon on day 16 and day 17. One other, because it was the Gemara's Havamina. It was a suggestion in the Gemara that this also should be Purim. It was rejected in the Gemara at the end. But because it was a suggestion, it was a possibility in that is also sacred. And at least, we're not going to lay in the Megillah, but at least we're not going to say Tachnun. It's much better than a yard site. It's much better than, it's a much more powerful reason than a yard site. It's accepted, lahalach, in some communities. Not as a joke. Incredible, you know, this is an incredible Kiddush. So many take that idea, and this is serious stuff. This is not Purim Torah, this is serious stuff. They take that idea, and they apply it to the minog. Incredible. The minog of saying the Haggadah Erev Pesach after Mincha. You know why you say the Haggadah Erev Pesach? because it was a Hava Amina. Yochol, I would think, since the Torah says Vigat on that month, the Torah says Achodesh Elochem Yivanam Sham Yochol Meirosh Chodesh. I would think the entire month is fit to say the Haggadah. It's a Hava Amina. No. But because it was a Hava Amina, out of the Chavivus, the love of the mitzvah, of Higatem Levin Chabayom Ahur, we Mekayim the Gemara's Hava Amina. What? I guess you have to put it a set. There's a limit to what you can do. You have to put it at a set time, a time that's shavala kol. People during New Year are busy. People are busy. So Shabbos Hagadol after Mincha, when everyone's in shul, you have a captive audience. That's an ideal time to tell everyone. Now we're going to be mekayim the minig of Yochol Meirosh Chodesh. That's a very powerful idea. Another idea which made an impression on me is going back to the 10th day. Let's assume that Shabbos HaGadol is this ties a little bit with what we mentioned from Rav Nissen Alper and Zechus Levracha. Shabbos HaGadol is a remembrance of day 10. We don't celebrate on day 10 because it falls out during the week. We have to do something that's Davar HaShavol Chol Nefesh. People are working, they're busy, for Pesach. So Shabbos is a good day to commemorate the miracle of the 10th day, which took place on the 10th day of Nisan. The 10th day of Nisan corresponds in the world of Machshava to the 10th day of Tishrei, because there is a dispute as to when the world was created. Was it created in Nisan or was it created in Tishrei? And there are many parallels. Some say b'machshav Hashem created it in Tishrei, l'maisa it was created in Nisan. Just like in Tishrei, the 10th day of Tishrei is a very holy day. It's Yom HaKippurim. It's a day of Kapara. Likewise, the 10th day of Nisan is significant in that it's a day of atonement. It's a holy day. It's 4 days before the first day. The Yom Tov of Sukkot. It's Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. Tesvav is also to a certain degree Rishon. It's the first day that we're Jews. Klal Yisrael was created on the night of Pesach, right? That's the 15th day of the month. Yeah.
You can also say that Yom Hashem Hagadol V'Hano Ra also suggests Yomim Noroim
Okay. Oh, very good. So you're enhancing this. It's Yom Hagadol Ra. There are many parallels between Tishrei and Nisan. The 10th day is a Hachana. It parallels Yom HaKippurim. What does it say? What's the minig? The minig is to say that in the Haggadah, what do we say? From Avodim, you know, Ad Lechaper Al Avonoseinu. Al Kol Avonoseinu. To atone for all of our sins. Avonoseinu is the theme of the 10th day of Tishrei. Shabbos HaGadol is a commemoration for the 10th day of Nisan. There is a degree of atonement in preparation for the Rishon Cheshbon Avonos, which is the beginning of Pesach, which is the beginning of real Rishon for Klal Yisrael, the formation of Klal Yisrael as a nation. So there's a lot of Torah that focuses, is not so much on the Haggadah. It's where you stop in the Haggadah. You don't say the entire Haggadah. You start with Avodim Hayinu. You obviously don't say the Man Shtana, and you don't say the Holach Ma'anya. And where do you stop? You stop right before you say Rabbi Yossi Haglili Hayoimer, Kol Mishloyama Shloish Ramel Bahizak Loyotze Chavosai Pesach Matsumarar. That's also part of the Gemara's Havmina. Ha Yachomer, Loyamati El Meshoshi Shmatza Umarar. So, that's only for Bo Bayom. But there's an emphasis also on where you end. Lechaper al kol avonoseinu, atonement for sins, is the theme of Yom HaKippurim. It corresponds to Yom Kippur. Okay, I think I got everything that I wanted to say. Let me just do a quick look.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Before the Haggadahs were, you know, before we had a proliferation of printed Haggadahs, wasn't
yeah.
just the leader that had it and recited.
That's what the Rambam says.
So if that's the case,
yeah.
then that would go against the idea of the children practicing.
The children are just to listen. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. Okay, that's a very good point. Okay, so we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day.